extend a welcome and a Christian greeting to each one here this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of the Lord again. For those who haven't been here in times past, I'm doing several devotionals and getting a lot of the information from the book In My Father's Vineyard by Wayne Jacobson. It's a man who grew up with his father having a vineyard, dressing the vines, and sounds like he was pretty particular in how they're cared for. He didn't like to hire people to do the important work. And he parallels the vineyard, the vine, and the branches with the Christian life. And so this morning I'd like to look at the season of spring in the vineyard. Everyone enjoy spring? I think we all do. We enjoy these times that are refreshing. Things are green. There's new life. There's exuberance. There's joy. It's a time of singing. And I think we all need those times in our lives as well. And maybe the initial experience we could refer to as a conversion, but even as Christians who have made a commitment to the Lord and years back, we need those periodical times of refreshment, of springtime, when there's new life, new growth coming forth. In John 15, I'll be reading the first four verses. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This passage here is descriptive of springtime. It's after the pruning is completed. Pruning typically takes place during the winter when the diseases aren't as prevalent. When you do the cuttings, the diseases don't set in as likely. And so this is a time of spring. The pruning is finished, and maybe we're wondering, well, am I a branch that's remaining or am I a branch that was cut off? Well, each one of us is a chosen branch. As it says later in the scripture, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And God chooses every one of us. There's plenty of room for every human being in the world to be a branch in our Father's vineyard. And so don't wonder, is there room for me? Am I being cut off or not? Now God prunes us. But he doesn't intend to cut us off. If we're cut off, it's our own doings. It's not the Father's doings. In the springtime is when the vineyard is at its best. It's tidy. It's clean. And it says, ye are clean through what? It's through the word that I have spoken unto you. The words that Jesus spoke to his disciples cleanses them. And again, it reiterates the importance of abiding. Abide in the vine. Once a branch is cut off, the sap doesn't flow from the vine to the branch anymore. There's no more life. And so we are branches this morning, and every one of us can be assured that we have been chosen. And in the springtime, the vineyard is ready for new growth. As the air warms, the spring rains provide moisture, the sun shines, and it draws that sap up from the roots through the vine to the branches. And the branches have these little buds that start swelling, and finally they burst, and new shoots come forth, and there's rapid growth. It's a time of exuberance. It's a time of joy, and we all need these times. And it can only happen as the branch abides in the vine, and through those tiny capillaries, the xylem and the phloem, these nutrients flow through the vine out to the branch, and it gives life. It gives energy so that growth can take place. I'll be reading some from this book this morning. As glorious as the days of spring are, they are also a time of danger. A late frost, a freak hailstorm, or an assault of weeds or insects can spell a quick end to a promised harvest. It is easy to give in to the enemy's distractions during this heady time, to find the promises of God aborted because we become preoccupied with other things. It can happen to any of us. God prepares us to bear fruit, but just when he is ready to set it, we allow it to be stolen. It doesn't take much. A lingering need, a persistent sin, a major disappointment, or even an unkind word from another believer can destroy our joy if we let it. Some are distracted from the promise by an unhealthy preoccupation with God's gifts to them, an effective ministry, a promotion at work, or a new child or home. Months later, we look back at the days of promise with frustration, wondering why God never accomplished what he had promised. Yet all the time, his father heart has not changed. His purpose has always been our fruitfulness. We are the ones who must follow through. We must learn in the springtime how to cultivate God's work deeply in our hearts. Then, when the blossoms fade, we will stay with his work until the weak nubs at the end of our branches become glorious bunches of grapes. New spring growth in the vineyard is so prolific that if left to itself, it would sprawl out everywhere. Not all of this growth is good. Some of it merely siphons off the strength of the vine instead of adding to it. One of the most important tasks of the farmer at this time of year is to direct growth on the vine for maximum fruitfulness. Part of this training process involves the mature branches. There are new canes called suckers that sprout from the base of a vine, drawing energy away from fruit production. These must be cut off. Sometimes even beginning grape bunches are plucked off to help the remaining ones grow larger and sweeter. In the Father's vineyard, too, the process of training is vital to our spiritual growth. During our spring seasons, when growth is profuse, the gardener works to align our lives with his plans. This process of alignment is known as discipline. Without discipline, there would be no fruit. Maybe I'll just make this comment. There have been times when I thought, when I hear a dramatic conversion experience, someone who grew up in a dysfunctional home, ungodly setting, and there's a conversion and there's a dramatic story to tell. And I praise the Lord for those. And have you ever thought, boy, if I would just have a story like that? And almost a little wistful, maybe that you grew up in a home where the disciplines were taught. I'm not sure have you grappled with that or not, but there have been times when I have. Well, let me just say this. God intends that disciplines are learned in the home and counted as a blessing if you have experienced it that way. Because when people who don't learn some basic disciplines at a young age, after conversion, those things can be difficult to develop. So be grateful if you have grown up in a godly setting where you have learned just a lot of the basic disciplines that are needful and helpful. Without discipline, there would be no fruit. So God takes our discipline seriously. He trains us, not by tying us to poles and wires, but by calling us to obey his voice. He speaks through a message from Scripture, through a comment from a friend, or through his Spirit in our hearts. As we obey, we are shaped toward greater fruitfulness in our lives. We accept his prompting to call a friend, and we are shaped toward loving sensitivity. We follow the biblical guidance to not respond to a hurt with another hurt, and we are nudged toward forgiveness and patience. We persist in a daily quiet time, and we find our connection to the vine being strengthened. One act of obedience after another, we are trained toward fruitful maturity. But we don't necessarily like it. Discipline is not always comfortable for the grapevines or for us. The training of a grapevine breaks the natural inclinations of a branch's growth, as does our obedience. Sometimes we feel as if we're being bent the wrong way, so we resist. Like a vine being trained, we prefer to do what comes naturally. We rationalize our interpretation of God's voice to fit our own ambitions. When that happens, the gardener becomes a little more insistent. He may use our circumstances to bring greater clarity to his direction, and this can be even more painful because our selfish pursuits and self-sufficiency are revealed for what they are, vain attempts to find life in ourselves. But don't misunderstand. Although discipline may be uncomfortable or even painful, it is not punishment. Punishment, although it may have deterrence in mind, is still primarily retribution. When God disciplines us through uncomfortable circumstances, he is not enacting revenge. He is nurturing and guiding. Discipline isn't legalism either, although many have confused the two. It is not a set of arbitrary rules and regulations we must meet in order to achieve acceptance and status from God. Once we are chosen by Christ, we are already accepted, chosen. We don't have to earn our place on the vine. The Lord's discipline, remember, always has our training in mind. The purpose of discipline is to shape us according to God's desires and to direct our spiritual growth toward maximum fruitfulness. In the early years, in fact, establishing a healthy growth configuration through discipline is even more important than producing fruit. Thought that's an interesting way of saying it. Establishing a healthy growth configuration through discipline is even more important than producing fruit. Every good grape farmer knows that's true for the vineyard. No vine will produce fruit the first year anyway, and there won't be enough in the second and third to make any difference. So during the first years, a far-sighted farmer will pick off the bunches just after they have bloomed so that all the energy of the vine will go into rooting deeply and developing strong branches. That's a good thing to remember in our lives as well, especially when we're new in the faith or when we feel that God is calling us to do a new thing. Sometimes the wisest thing we can do is wait, grow, and follow God's discipline instead of pushing ahead to achieve results. The best fruit always comes in God's own time anyway, and in the appropriate season. Sometimes, perhaps, our view of what fruit is can be construed. Maybe referred to as results involved in, well, let me just say this. I think what I'm focusing this morning on is producing fruit within our own lives. And I think as God continues to prune and shape us, he wants to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives maturing, where we have that love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, where that is exemplified consistently, day after day, even through the hard times. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, we have those different soils, and it says, he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Get this idea, there's a quick spurt of growth, but there hasn't been energy developed into establishing strong roots. And so when tough times come, it doesn't last. And so the encouragement this morning, if it's a time of growth, enjoy that growth and use that opportunity to develop energy into growth, into a strong root system, and so on. There's more that I'd like to read, but it's about time to close. Just a little bit here. So in our lives, in the season of great joy and promise, God invites us to establish patterns of relationship with Him that will endure the severest tests of faith. But too many of us cannot see the need. Everything is going so well just the way it is. Why do we need to let God deal with our fleshly desires since He seems to be blessing us in spite of them? Why do we need daily time in the Word since God seems to be speaking to us everywhere we turn? It is precisely at times of great blessing, when God is so readily present, that patterns of spiritual relationship can be built most effectively into our lives. When God is easy to find in our scripture reading, our prayers, and our fellowship with the body of Christ, that is the time to set the patterns that will strengthen and prepare us for the days to come. Though the Word emphasizes this pattern of preparation, many believers mistakenly think that their spiritual life will flourish regardless. They assume grace will cover spiritual lethargy. But whenever we decide we need just enough of God to survive the day, we have let the process break down. Our response to God today has implications months down the road. Nowhere is this more powerfully illustrated than in the vine. Grapes are a two-year crop. The bunches forming now were developed a year before, while another crop was coming to fruitfulness. Although they were microscopic in size, hidden in the buds of next year's crop, the care the vine received then determines their quality now. And then it says, complacency is the greatest danger we face when God blesses us in the springtime. So enjoy a time of spring in your life, a time of spiritual growth, and utilize it to develop that abiding in the vine, to make sure that flow continues, that flow of life. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you that you are the husbandman. It is your vineyard we are a part of, and you care deeply about each branch. Thank you that you have chosen us and that we can rest in that. Lord, during times of growth, help us to do our part in to allow you to train and guide us so that we can produce more fruit within our lives. Bless and direct this time together this morning. Thank you for each one that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.